Well, I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding victory over my addiction to alcohol, and my name is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Good evening, good evening. So let's move on in our teaching series. It's been a little while. We kind of took a little bit of a pause there with the Thanksgiving pre-Thanksgiving Wednesday. And so I want to bring us back together into the lesson just to catch you up for those that are perhaps new or maybe have missed during the holiday time. We started 4, 5, 6 weeks ago with the lesson on denial. I think Ron taught on that. And just looking at kind of and we're at the very beginning of our teaching series in Celebrate Recovery. So if you are new here, you're coming in right at the beginning. Not that you need to get them in order, but you'll find out if you do attend a step study, which we talked about earlier, there is a logic to this progression of steps. But denial is where we find ourselves oftentimes, actually in many times in our lives, not just when we're dealing with hurts and habits and hang-ups, we're not dealing with what I call the thing that got us in the door, but sometimes we're in denial over our sports team losing miserably. Sometimes we're in denial over the fact our kids are not brilliant, or maybe they are brilliant and we're not, you know, we're in denial about that they're smarter than us. So denial can creep in all sorts of areas of our life, but it's the darkness, essentially. It's the darkness that we find ourselves in. Separated from God. We see denial all the way back in Genesis when Adam and Eve go and hide from God after eating the fruit and thinking that that's going to work, that he's not going to know about this. And so it's carried forward. We then moved into a lesson on powerless. Paul came in and taught on powerless. And what we find is when we really get in touch with our denial and we really get in touch with the darkness that we're in, we look to where can we go? What does that leave us with? And it leaves us with the admission that we truly are powerless in many things, and certainly all of the big things in life. And instead of us using that as, oh, that's a bummer, that should be energizing. If you ever take a look at Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 7, one of my favorite chapters in one of my favorite books, from 7:15 to about 7:25, Paul takes us through this dialogue kind of with himself, where repeatedly he talks about, I know what I want to do. I want to do the right thing. I love to do the right thing. I embrace God's law. And yet, I find myself doing the opposite. I find myself doing the things that I hate. And it's really driving me nuts. And he gets to the point at the very end where he cries out, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And he finishes it with the answer to that question, thanks be to God. Okay, thanks be to Jesus, essentially. And so I'll incorporate a phrase a little bit tonight and tied with the powerless. When our wretchedness outweighs our willpower and our trying harder, and I'm just going to put on a happy face part. When our wretchedness outweighs our willpower, we realize we're powerless and we are ready for a Savior, and the Savior is there for us. And so that's where we find ourselves in lesson 3 tonight in the hope lesson. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And so I ask you tonight, are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have? And some of you might be out there saying, well, I don't have any hope. That's why I'm here. And I can get that. And yet you do have hope, or you should be able to find the hope that I'm talking about right now, and that we'll kind of elaborate on a little bit more tonight in the lesson. You have the hope that because of Jesus. And it's a timely lesson as we celebrate this time of year where God comes from heaven to earth as a man to live among us, and that is where our hope, and we should be sharing that story with others, not just at Christmas time, but there's kind of an easy in for it this time of year if you think about it. If you are kind of unsure about your level of faith and your level of actually talking to folks about God, well, the first thing you need to do, of course, is talk to God about that, talking to God first before talking to somebody else about God. But then engage in that conversation. Share that. And hopefully the way you're living your lives, and for those of you that have been attending CR for a while and walking the recovery walk for a while, you should look different to your friends and your neighbors and your family members. And And hopefully they do see that you walk a little differently, you carry yourself a little differently, you react a little differently to situations. And so that's kind of what we're also looking at. So the hope lesson, our hope comes from the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's at this lesson that we also transition in our teaching from principle one and step one into principle two and step two. And so I'm just going to read these to you as we kind of move into these. So these are kind of overarchingly guide our discussion tonight. Principle two says, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that that he has the power to help me recover. And the beatitude from Jesus here are, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, Matthew 5:4. And at the first part of the next year, we'll be doing a little more in-depth look at the Beatitudes. To how does that mourn go with that principle? So we'll kind of unpack that a little more, because we just did it earlier tonight. We go through the Beatitudes every week, so I want to flesh those out for you just a little bit. Step two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And Philippians 2:13 is a scripture that corresponds with that step. It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. One of the things that I look to the hope lesson for is, and there's a few lessons, and probably all lessons, I guess, if you look at it this way, but the hope lesson kind of leaps out to me, because as a follower of Christ, one of the things that I struggle with, not only all that stuff that Paul was talking about in Romans 7, but I struggle with this idea of, what's my part? What's God's part? I was having this discussion just the other night with my wife when we were talking about our daughter who's struggling with depression, and my wife is engaged in her recovery from this, or her work on this, but she, as a follower, is questioning, well, maybe I'm not letting God do God's thing, and I'm trying to be God here. I mean, and so what is that line? What is our part? What is God's part? So hopefully as we go through the lesson tonight, I'm able to provide a little, at least my take on how the hope lesson breaks down. Hopefully you have the handout for the lesson that has our acrostic in it tonight, the H-O-P-E, and we'll be going through each of those letters and just assigning some meaning to them. If you're new to CR, we do this in a number of our lessons, so the acrostic is something you'll become intimately familiar with if you continue to come back to CR. And so, if we take another look at step two again, it says we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, okay, that a power greater than ourselves. And that takes us to the first letter in the acrostic tonight, the H. The H is for higher power. In Romans 11:36, it says, everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God tells Paul, says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. One of my favorite scriptures ever, because I just think it so plugs into Celebrate Recovery. And it's so countercultural to the world that says we've got to be strong and we've got to be our own God. And God is saying, no, your weakness is where I gain the power. Less of you, more of me kind of idea. Now, higher power is not unique to Celebrate Recovery. You'll see this in many secular recovery programs. I have experience with that. Many of you have experience with that. And it makes sense, because one of the problems that I have as an addict, recovering addict, is I'm extremely selfish. I am so into myself. I would be doing this if you weren't here tonight. How about that? That's how so into myself I am. So a higher power gets me out of myself. It's not all about me. Unfortunately, and when you think about it, if you bought into the fact, if denial is usually a pretty easy buy-in for folks, because once again, a lot of times we're not sitting in this room if we haven't had some degree of denial or its ugly effects in our life. The powerless piece, that's kind of harder to swallow for some of us, especially as selfish, self-confident, God-like creatures like myself. We kind of go, well, I don't know about that. But if you've bought into that, if you really get that, the fact that, once again, kind of like the weakness and letting, and that's where God's power really comes through, then it makes sense to have a higher power, doesn't it? If we are powerless, then where's the power coming from? And so a higher power makes sense from that respect as well. But when in a lot of times in the secular world, the issue that I have with the higher power is that you get to choose it, and it can be anything you want to. Okay? Now, the fact that I get to choose my higher power, you're talking about an alcoholic former atheist that gets to choose his higher power. Well, what am I going to choose? You see, I didn't have a long track record of making good choices, hence the alcoholic atheist part, okay, and a number of other things in my life. So if you give me the choice, well, I'm going to go for something outside of myself that makes that has no real power other than the power that I give it. So once again, I'm in control of that higher power. Whatever I name, whatever I choose, I'm giving it the power. I don't give God power. I can't give God power. And so that's one of the key distinctions when we look at the higher power in Celebrate Recovery being God versus something that I get to choose, and my warped, not good choice mind will tend to make it something that fits with me, that's easy on me, that doesn't hold me accountable, and that I can overrule because I'm more powerful than the higher power kind of thing, because I just created the higher power. And see, our higher power is Jesus Christ, Lord, Savior, period. In CR, our higher power chose us. Key distinction. We choose to believe and receive the grace. We talked about in that scripture read earlier. But he chose us. He chooses us. He does that every day. He chooses us or chose us when he sent his son to live among us as one of us. Not sent us as a god, as this deity, but as a man 100%. So living with us as one of us. He chose us when he sent his one and only begotten to die on the cross. He chose me when I was an atheist and a drunk. That's pretty sweet. John 15:16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." So in CR, we're chosen. Okay? In CR, Jesus is the one true higher power, the highest power, if you will, the power greater than ourselves, who can and does and will and continue to restore us. As we take a look at the second letter in the hope acrostic, the letter O, that stands for openness to change. So the H, higher power, going back to my question to you or my conundrum earlier, what part's me, what part's God? Well, higher power, that's obviously God. God's got that taken care of. Openness to change, that falls more on me. I have to be open to change. In fact, my openness to change, my free will is strong enough that I can deny the God that chose me. That's how powerful that openness to change can be at the extreme there. Ephesians 4:23. Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be consistently changing for the better. Yes, you must be a new and different person. In other words, yes, you actually have to walk the walk. Okay, when that highest power chooses us, regardless of our story, regardless of our baggage, regardless of our history, that should have a transition or a transformational, I should say, effect on us. So we have to walk the walk. You know, as an atheist, I struggled mightily with step two in the recovery steps in my previous attempts at recovery. Number one, as I mentioned, I was selfish, see? So I honestly couldn't think of a power greater than myself. So right there, that was like, what are you going to do with that? I mean, I was Jack, so that was pretty much sufficient. WWJD, what would Jack do? Got it right there, okay? I had this idea that I would just be drinking along, minding my own business one day and would be struck sober, and because I decided to. That's how it worked. And so as I say, finally, earlier, when my wretchedness outweighed my willpower, I began to change my thinking. I began to be open to the change, my part. And honestly, what I should have been more focused on is the first part of step two that says we came to believe. I was all hung up on the power greater than myself and wanted to either create it or name it or didn't need it or whatever, but I really needed to pay attention to we came to believe. John Baker, the founder of Celebrate Recovery, puts it this way in the CR Leadership Guide. He says, saying that we came to believe in anything describes a process. So belief is a result of, and he lists four things. Belief is a result of consideration, doubt, reasoning, and then concluding. So kind of almost a process, or a step-by-step. Consideration, doubt, reasoning, and concluding. And this resonates with me because that's my story. Okay, so let me just briefly talk about what that looks. So the consideration for me was, as an atheist, I began reluctantly coming to church here with my wife about 10, 12 years ago. Okay, so just happened to show up. Now, I did it for my means. It was to get her off my back. You know, the logic was, I'm an atheist going to church. You should let me drink as much as I want. That was how it worked. Okay, that was in my mind. Okay. Then doubt, feeling God, but denying that feeling. I remember sitting in church many a Sunday as they would offer an invitation for me to accept Christ and everybody else in the room for that matter. I was feeling his pursuit, but I was firmly gripping the armrests for fear that I would be sucked into his love. And that wasn't going to happen to this atheist, let me tell you that, okay? So doubt. And just the normal doubts of, really, you can love me perfectly? Me perfectly? Delight in me? This guy's a kooky god. I don't know. Then reasoning kicked in, eventually. And I felt, wait a minute. I'm arguing with a God that doesn't exist. I'm feeling a God pursuing me in my heart that doesn't exist. So wait a minute, there must be a pursuer here. And that's when it began to kind of click. And then concluding, so my conclusion was this: either I'm crazy arguing with a God that doesn't exist, or he most certainly does exist. Okay. And the truth is, it's both. I am crazy and God does exist. So just in case you want to know. So what's the change in your life that you need to be open to right now? For some of you, it's whether to come back next week. For others of you, it's whether to get into the next step study that we start. For others, it's, do I need to finally admit to my spouse that I don't know everything? Whatever it is. So what is it that it's in your life today that you need to be open to changing? So meditate on that for a little bit. What do you need to make that change? Well, one of the things you need takes us to our next letter in the acrostic, the P, the power to change. You need the power to change. And this takes us back over to the God side. God has the power to transform you. You need to be open to him and open to the changes that he wants to make in your life. But he's the one that does the work, the power to change you. So our part versus his part. David and Goliath. Who killed Goliath? Well, most people say, well, David, you just said so. If we take a look at the scripture, we see what killed Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17:45, David said to the Philistine, Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. The power in the name of the Lord is what killed Goliath. David said, I'm open to change. I'm open to doing this. I'm called, you know, send me. I'm your guy. Okay, so that's his part. But God did the impossible. Okay. Philippians 4:13. For I can do everything God asked me to with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and the power. And in Psalm 25:5, lead me, teach me, for you are the God who gives me salvation. I have no hope except in you. And I threw in one of my own, which is not on the screens, Matthew 19:26. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Some of you know a part of my story. Some of you know that if you walk down this hall and walked into our big worship center down there, right before you get into the main room, there's an atrium set of double doors. If you were to rip up the carpet of that atrium area there, you would find written in Sharpie pen my initials, JFS, and that scripture, Matthew, not the scripture written out, just Matthew 19:26. My wife wrote that on the floor of the church when that part of the building was being constructed back in 2005. 5, 6, 10, whatever years before I became a Christian. She knew that her part was turning to the Lord and his power. She knew that she wasn't going to get the drunk atheist to walk through the doors of that new building. She knew God could. She's tapping into the power to change through her prayer, through her meditation, okay? I'm a living, breathing, walking, talking example of what that power and strength and teaching and salvation can do. And so are many of you, if not every single one of you. And know that. Take that into your heart. So it's not about finding the power inside of yourself. Remember the H, okay? Higher power, okay? Not about you being that higher power. It's about turning your old self over to the God who has the power to actually transform you. Okay, that's your part. God does the transformation. So that power took a selfish, self-centered atheist of about 45 years, and I got a drunk for about 25 years of those 45, and transformed him into a sober believer with now over 8 years of sobriety under my belt. A guy that was truly hopeless 10 years ago is now teaching a lesson on hope. That's weird. But with God, all things are possible. All right. Only God has the power to transform you from within. Okay, we can do a lot of external stuff. Okay, those end up tending to be behavior modifications most of the time and not transformations. Only God has that power to do that. So turn to him. Allow him to do that in your life. The last letter in our acrostic tonight is the E, of course, and that's for expect to change. And that, once again, comes back to what is our part. We need to have the mindset. We need to have the expectation to change. Why? Why should you, sitting out there with your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups and your addictions and your afflictions and your compulsive behaviors and your naughty bits and all that type of stuff, why should you expect to change? Well, just look around you, for Pete's sake. This room is filled with people that have been transformed by God, that have expected to change. Maybe not when they walked in, maybe not the first night, I get that, okay? And some of us, myself included, I still struggle with that expectation because I just have a warped view of myself that I kind of have to refocus back on how God looks at me. But look around you. Why should you expect to change? Well, open your Bible. Open your Bible. One of my CR brothers gave me a list of some of the folks in the Bible. I like the way it's phrased, so I'm going to read some of them to you. Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a liar. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. David had an affair and was a murderer. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying with Jesus there when our God is here. Paul was way too religious, and Lazarus, well, he was dead. All of those folks in Scripture give me hope. If we look at their lives, why should we expect to change? Well, shoot, if you can come back from the dead, if you're Lazarus, I probably can transform into a guy that doesn't drink crazily, you know, that type of thing. And finally, why should you expect to change? Because, and probably most importantly, in God's eyes, you already have. Scripture's filled with this affirmation of our newness, of our current state in God's eyes. And let me just share one with you. Colossians 1:22 says, "Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." expect to change, because from God's vantage point, you already have. And so start living like it. So our hope is not based on wishful thinking or the strength of our desires, like I really hope this happens. It's based on the promises and the power of God, the highest power, with the power to transform us as long as we are open to calling on Him and expectant that He will continue to do what in fact He has already done. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love You. We are so grateful that You include us in Your plan, that You almost make it a requirement, that You give us the power of free will. And I pray tonight that all of us choose to reflect on what is our part and what is Your part, and that we stop trying to do what only You can do, and that we start doing the things that we can do, Lord. Lord, I ask that You just continue to bless us, continue to transform us, continue to place in our hearts every day that vision of how You see us, not how we see us or the world sees us. Lord, I pray these things in Your name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for letting me share tonight.